When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is this not a sad day that the Astros and the Dodgers neither are in? Okay, I throw the Braves in.
Sad day for
whom? I was going to say sad for you. Yeah, say personally, is this a sad day? Yes, for you it is. For the rest of us, we're just like, hey.
But we got our own problems in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't, think about it. It's been like the last, what, 5-6 years that either one of the two have been in the World Series and now neither?
Right.
Yeah, well, the Astros have had a run, man.
It's so bad that I don't want anybody in Arizona to win anything.
You gotta let that go, man. That's not healthy. It's not healthy to hold on to that stuff for that long, man. It's just not. It's just not.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-pointer. There is it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Well, I know what's going on. It is NBA tip-off night, baby. This is a Big Shot Bob podcast. B-Dog, Brandon Harper. I'm Rob Jenners. That is Lakers analyst and seven-time NBA champion, Robert Ory, who's got a game ahead of him tonight, man. Are you working tonight?
No, I'm off tonight.
You're off on opening night.
I want to be off tonight so I can be on my own couch.
You can watch. Yeah.
This is probably going to be one of the highest-rated watch games just because it's, you know, almost trash been talked over the summer.
I don't give a shit.
No, Michael. You're right, though. It is, I think, but the NBA does this every year. They're so good at nailing down like those first, usually the first two games, and you got two monsters tonight. You know, you've got the Lakers Nuggets, which has been hotly contested from last year's postseason, and you got the new look Phoenix Suns against the tried and true Golden State Warriors tonight. So you got two great matchups to open the year. You really do.
It put up a lot of scoring. You know, you think about it, Golden State is known for scoring. Now you go up against Phoenix, it's going to be known for a lot of scoring. Even though Bradley Beal is not playing tonight, you still got two great games to start the season off with.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I don't know how long, but this has been one of those seasons where you have so many different storylines.
Oh, yeah.
And so many different, narratives that you can kind of pull from. I don't remember the last season where we had this many narratives and things to look forward to and games to watch. Because now you have so many more teams now where they're somewhat interesting. You remember how you used to look at certain teams and like, they're not interesting. They're not interesting.
Yeah.
It's not like that now anymore.
Yeah, I think if you go through the whole league, it's probably only like maybe three teams you're like, you don't want to watch. But for the most part, everybody has someone exciting on the team. They have someone who's out to make a splash this season. So it's gonna be a great season in the NBA, I hope. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to today. And a lot of, like, to B's point, a lot of stuff going into the season this year worth talking about. A lot of moves, a lot of changes in rosters. The Clippers are healthy, ?
Are they?
Right, but it's like in all the iterations of this Clippers lineup, I don't think we've seen what they thought that was going to be with Kawhi and Paul George. So, now you've got with Westbrook in the mix over there, so we're going to talk about Westbrook in a minute here. I wanted to start Lakers Nuggets. I know this might be a little bit of a broad question. What are you guys looking to see tonight from that game? The way that the Lakers maybe approach Denver, because obviously after the run Denver went on last year, winning the whole thing, we've talked a lot about Jokic in the offseason. How do you think the Lakers go at that tonight?
You know, for me, I'm looking at this as probably in a crazy way. I'm looking at conditioning because the preseason is shorter than normal. And so guys, a lot of guys are like not playing, not practicing. So are you conditioned enough to step into this where you going playoff mode ready? Because this is going to be a playoff atmosphere in Denver. are you up for the task? And, you know, we're not going to talk about the altitude because everybody talks about that. But are you in shape enough to go, you know, 32 minutes, let's say AD, LeBron, AR, those three guys? Because we know Denver, they're going to be feeding off the excitement of playing LA again. They're going to be at home, off that crowd, off seeing their rings. They got a lot of stuff to push them through this game. So I'm really interested to see how the condition aspect for the Lakers can push them, or just the just straight anger for them being the whipping boy, so to say, for the Nuggets this soft season. So it's just it's exciting, man. I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, I mean, I think it's pretty much the obvious. I'm watching AD.
Yeah.
Because I think you're gonna see, against his liking and against his request, I think you're going to see him at the five tonight. And you're going to see him at the five a lot, you know, during this season, because I think as much as he doesn't want to play the five, it presents a huge mismatch for a lot of centers around the league when he does so. And also wanting to see, because I think they named Torian Prince as the fifth starter. So they're relatively running some form of a smaller lineup out there with AD at the five. And I want to see what the chemistry looks like. I know it's the first game of the season, but chemistry is not always built on the court. Sometimes it's built off the court as well. So to see what these guys look like with another year under their belt, to see how the flow of the game looks, to see, like Rob said, their conditioning, and just trying to see all of that. I know it's the first game of the season, but it's a big one.
Very big.
It's a big one. And Denver going to be ready, and they need to be ready as well.
Yeah. And you know, more than anything, the Lakers want to spoil ring night. Oh, you know they want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would imagine the Lakers come out running hot, and I hope they do. You know, nothing will fire up the NBA fan base more than if the Lakers just come out flat. and just get punished
Who's
by Jokic the whole night. Yeah, exactly. Oh
daddy?
My God, you won't
Who's
be able to.
Your daddy?
You won't be able to outrun that for nothing. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
That'll run you down. On the Suns Warriors tonight. Any thoughts on that before we move on? Good matchup. I mean, like you said, Beal's not in.
Yeah, it's. I just really want to see how this small lineup is going to work. I know the Suns don't really have a big lineup, but I'm interested to see how this small lineup for the Warriors work, because that's going to be a lot of up and down. And also, I want to see if Klay still has it. You know, I'm so worried about Klay for all the injuries he had.
He's
and
hyping
those
himself
mount up, man.
He's hyping himself up.
Those mount up, but this is probably going to first night where I watch both games all the way through, unless someone started gets blown out, then I'm flipping to something else.
Yeah, I'm looking at Phoenix defensively. I think one of the things we kind of assume is their ability to put up points. So you talk about their chemistry. We don't know what the chemistry looks like either, because you can't just throw stuff together and be like, hey, go out there and, you know, just roll the ball out there and just go out here and do what you need to do. But I am looking at them defensively. I know when you go get a guy like Nurkic and you put him at the five in that trade, you know, that kind of helps defensively as well. But I just want to see their chemistry and their communication on defense, because we assume that they'll be able to score the ball. Yeah. But I know in the past with Kevin Durant sometimes led teams, as the offense gets better, sometimes the defense can suffer a little bit. So I really want to see how they can really tap in and lock in defensively, even with Bradley Beal out. Devin Booker, you know, Kevin Durant, those guys over there, and see how they kind of lock in defensively and establish themselves on the defensive end of the ball.
You know, it'd be kind of cool. What if they say, you know what? They go out tonight, they win a couple of games, the offense looks good. You say, you know what? Hey, Bradley Beal, how about you trying to win sixth man of the year? Let's bring you off the bench and let you go for it. Because
for the amount of money they paid him, are you insane?
Manu Ginobili made a lot of money. He made
no, but he didn't make this money.
He ain't make no Bradley Beal money.
He ain't make this money.
You're crazy.
Bring him off the bench, man. Nope. Bring him off the bench. Hey, it's the thing with people. No, listen to this now. If you play 35 minutes, does it matter if you start or you come off the bench? Does it really matter? No, it doesn't.
Not really.
35 minutes. Like, if you come in, think about it. He could sit on the bench for the first 5 minutes, then come in, and play the rest of the quarter.
For what point?
The rest of the half.
To what end? What is
so he can add to his collection? You know, think about it. Sixth Man of the Year award. Hey, what if he has it in his contract where he can get a little bonus? Hey, never know. I'm just saying.
Hey, there's this this really famous song by this group called Hall & Oates called I Can't Go For That.
And no, I can't Bradley go Beal, for that.
Bradley Beal ain't going for that.
No hey, can do.
I bet you if he has that in his contract where he wins any kind of award, he'll go for that.
If Frank Vogel lets him come off the bench, there might be riots.
Hey,
there might be riots in the city.
The analytics say, you know, Frank Vogel's a strong analytical guy. The analytics say.
But I think, too, with Frank Vogel, I think in the first 20 games of the season for Phoenix, he's got to get that chemistry right. Because I know, you know, he struggled with that a little bit in Los Angeles. Was getting the pieces in the right order and getting the game plan in the right people's hands and who's moving the ball and who's doing what. And I need, in the first 20 games of the season, I would like to see Phoenix get that out of the way and then see the machine go. Because B's right. They're going to score. I don't think that's – you got too many guys on that team that can score the basketball. I don't think that's going to be the problem. I think it's going to be chemistry, how they're moving the ball, who's bringing it up, how do they play defensively. You know, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of little things because you've had so many changes in what has worked for Phoenix the last couple of years, not just from head coach, but with Ayton gone and Chris Paul gone and all the stuff that they've changed. I mean, within the first 20 games, I want to see what they can put together. How does that machine work? Is he able to make all those pieces fit? And I think with Bradley Beal on the bench, that's a non-starter for me. Sorry, it just is. It'll be interesting. I love NBA tip-off night, though, man. I'm with you. I'm going to watch both these games probably straight through.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
James Harden has gone MIA. I think we all thought this might happen this way. I think everyone on the show might have been hopeful that he just showed up and put his head down and played basketball and played his way out of it. But as it stands, we have not heard nor seen from Mr. Harden. He has yet to report to Sixers practice. According to NBA insiders, there's no clarity on when he's going to play, if he's going to play. And he's starting to hit a little bit of a breaking point. Like, and to me, at first, my first thought was this feels like Houston all over again. But he showed up on opening night for Houston. He dropped 44. So how completely batshit crazy would it be if James Harden rolls up Thursday night in the opener against the Milwaukee Bucks, hits the floor with little or no practice, drops like 40, and just completely spoils the whole Giannis Dame debut night?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think James Harden is on James Harden time. You know, it's one of those things where, okay, I may not have reported to practice and I've been MIA for some days, but if I step in that arena on game day, you gonna bench me? And even if you do bench me, you're not going to have me on the bench for long, because if I'm there and I'm dressed, the fans are going to want to see me play. And so eventually you're going to have to be forced to put me in and then let me do what I do. Because what happens is, when James starts to do what he does on the floor, when players start to play after all the turmoil, we seem to kind of forget things. And he's on his time now. So if Daryl Morey is not going to trade him or can't find a trade partner, then I don't know what you're going to do because you're paying him a lot of money. And
no, not tonight. You're not. Well, Thursday night, if he don't show up, you're fining him that money.
Well, you can fine him, but at the same time, but what I'm saying is if he does show up, what are you going to do? He's going to play. He's going to play.
No, he's not.
You don't think so?
First of all, he's going to be – the game's at Milwaukee, so you don't have a fan base that's really going to, you know, give a shit.
NBA fans want to see James Harden play. I don't care what city you're in.
As a coach and as an organization, you got to have some type of balls. Let's be honest. You can't have this guy just not be around doing whatever he wants to do and all of a sudden show up and say, I'm going to play. It doesn't work that easy. It sounds good, but as a coach and as – now, think about this. Now you're setting a precedent. Like, oh, James don't come to practice. He played? Fuck that. I ain't coming to practice either. You can't have this. You have to nip it in the bud. And this is the problem that we have a lot of time when you allow superstars to do things. Now these not-so-superstars say, well, hey, he bleeds like I bleed. And I'm not – if he's going to do it, I'm going to do it too. Because, you know, if me, I'm on the team. I'm going to be an asshole. If you do it, he does. I'm going to do it just as a proof of point, you know, because it's just not right at the end of the day. Even though he's a superstar, he puts more butts in the seats than me. He still has to be held to the same standard as everybody else on that team.
Oh, I agree with you in theory. But let's be practical here.
Put reality in here.
Because I agree with you and you're right. And that's great to put on. And that's great for that's something that we should all practice. And it's very Hallmark card-ish. But my problem is that's not very practical because we are talking about a league that is predicated based off of its star power. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case and everything that you're saying, then on a smaller scale, because we want to go full circle here, on a smaller scale, then if somebody sees LeBron eating dinner on the sideline, can everybody else go and get some dinner and eat it on the sideline too?
That's never going to happen again. Trust me. That's never going to happen again. So we ain't got to worry about that.
That's fine. But I'm just saying.
But here's the thing. Guys been doing that for years, though. It might not be dinner. It might have been a hot dog. It might have been the popcorn. They've been doing it for years, though. Let's be honest.
I'm sorry. Are we at the movie theater or are we at a basketball game? So my thing
is. They do both.
I get it. But see, it's normal for us to do it when we go to the movie theaters because we're watching a movie. It's normal for us to do it when we go to a game because we're watching the game. What's not normal is for a player who's supposed to be on the bench or in the game to be sitting there down in a hot dog, a popcorn, and a 20-ounce Coke.
They do it all the time because it was LeBron. They put it on TV. So many other players do that. It's been doing it for years. I've sat next to guys on my team. Hell, I've done it. Because if you're not playing, I'm like, shit, I'm hungry. Man, go get me a pretzel. Go get me some hot dog. Dude, I'm going to sit here and eat.
So not only are you in street clothes, you're in street clothes with a plate of chicken fingers just working down. It's a bad look, man. It's a bad look.
It's a bad look, but it's been repeated before.
Look, here's the thing with Harden. I think if Doc Rivers was still the head coach, that might be a different scenario. Mm-hmm. You've got Nick Nurse now, who I don't think has any loyalty to James Harden. So I think Nick Nurse is going to try and go, okay, line in the sand. If you show up on opening night in Milwaukee and you think you're going to get in the lineup, the answer is no. You haven't been to practice. So Nick Nurse can set that bar now. The problem is going to be when Nick Nurse's phone starts ringing and Adam Silver's like, so why ain't James playing?
Well, I don't think
he's
Adam Silver.
No, I know.
Adam Silver's not going to step in on this one. But
I'm kidding.
But here's the thing, though. The reason you don't – this is another reason I just thought of. But you got Maxey over there. Maxey is a budding star. And you got Tobias. You got these two guys who can do –
They ain't James Harden, man.
Yeah. But it ain't James. But just be honest. Maxey, when James is not in the game, he puts up some good numbers.
No. You're right. You're right, and I've talked about Tyrese Maxey before and how he's an emerging star. And you're right from a basketball standpoint. But when it comes to opening a night and we're talking about from a rating, putting butts in the seats, and a fan standpoint, none of those guys even put together is moving the needle like James Harden. And we all know that.
I don't know about that anymore because you think about it. The NBA fans are extremely smart. And even though they like talent, they don't like when guys just, think about this. If this is his first time, they'd be okay with it. But it's his third time doing this.
Yeah.
You know, so the NBA fans are probably going to be fed up with it. Let's be honest. If, you know, NBA fans are smart. They mm-hmm. understand business. They understand the business of basketball. Mm-hmm. But this is a step into another world of just, you know, not being business basketball. It's not getting your way and not, you know, abiding by the rules of your contract. So
you're right. But as smart as NBA fans are, they also are drawn to controversy. And
that's everybody.
I'll say the entire internet is drawing the controversy.
But at the same time, that's my point.
Yeah.
So at the same time of us being smart, we're also drawing a controversy. So if James Harden walks in that building in Milwaukee and is about to suit up, people want to see him play, even if the game is away. Why? Because it's opening night. Yeah. And what do they want on opening night? They want their stars to play.
Yeah.
Well, we got 2 days. Who knows? He might show up.
Yeah, he might. He very well might. Yeah. And I think, too, there's two different things, too, to talk to there. Ratings and butts and seats, that's going to happen no matter what, because you've got Dame, and Giannis together mm-hmm. playing the Sixers. James Harden or no James Harden, you'll get the numbers.
Yeah, but I'm not getting my other team at full strength,
right,
though.
But what you will get is the buzz if Harden is in the building. Whether he plays or he doesn't, that almost mm-hmm. doesn't even matter. If he's in the building, NBA Twitter will be on fire. It will be a total dumpster fire. Everyone will be just, that's all anybody will be talking about. And trust me, the NBA wants that. They want that more than they want the ratings on television. They want the social media buzz of James Harden, either in the bench or in the game. One of the two, doesn't matter. They just want
to guess
talk.
What? And guess what else it votes well for? We talk about the NBA media. You know, obviously, you know, NBA and TNT is back. You're telling me James Harden being in that building, one way or another, playing or not, can you imagine Shaq, Ernie, Kenny, and Charles, the commentary, everything that's going to be brought about and said on opening night when they see that man walk through that building?
Oh, it's going to be wild. Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
I hope he shows up. I hope, I really do. And here's the thing, too. As much as I get pissed off at this behavior, I like watching James Harden play basketball. It's tough when he's on a team with guys that he's not really thrilled about, or he's playing for a GM that he hates, or whatever the case might be. That sucks. But when James Harden balls out, man, he's fun. And he's great to watch. He's good for the game. It sucks that he has let everything else come before that. It's everything else matters more to him than just get out there and play. And I know your situation sucks. And I know you want out. And if that's the case, that's fine. It's something that can be worked on. But you doing this whole I'm not going to show up thing, it does no good for anybody, including for James. So, I don't know. It's tough, man. It's just a tough situation. How do you think that this ends with Harden? Do you think he does show up and play Thursday? Or do you think it's just he sits out until they move him?
I think he shows up. I really believe he'll show up.
I think he shows up too.
I do too.
I think he.
And I'm here for it.
I think he shows up for his teammates. I think he shows up for the city of Philadelphia. I think he'll do what he needs to do to get his money. And so he won't have to give it back to the organization. Mm-hmm. But he'll still keep his disdain and hate for Daryl Morey.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he'll be very outspoken on it.
Yep.
He will be. Good for him. All right, we'll see how it goes. Wemby, I put down a few things as we start to kind of get into the NBA season officially tipping off. We've talked about some of the bigger matchups. I brought up Wemby just because the more I've kind of seen from him now, he might have the longest arms of any NBA player I've ever seen. They're almost not human. They almost look like a squid's tentacles. They are like freakishly long. That kid's got reach, man. And
I want to know what a nickname he's gonna come up. They're gonna give him.
I thought Wemby was.
It's his name. But yeah, he needs a Shaq-esque. Shaq needs to dub him with a nickname or something.
It'll come along soon. Come along soon. Let him get in regular season play.
Hey,
it'll
man,
come
but along. This dude blocked the shot from the block. He was shooting a three, man. Man, you got to avoid him at all costs. And you know. What I like best about this guy is his intelligence on the court. It ain't about his play. His play is speaking for itself, but his little things, you got to think about. He's only, 20 years old?
Something like that, 19, 20.
But his intelligence, his IQ is on a level of like someone who's been in the league 10 or 12 years. So I'm looking at that like, damn, this guy is smart. Not to the fact that he can play. And the things that he's doing each and every night, it's just crazy how good this kid can be.
Yeah,
he, you know, we had that talk for a while you know, earlier on when he was, you know, played a few games in summer league and looked okay. And all the conspiracy theorists came out on social media like they always do. Oh, he's not that great.
He's a bust.
You know, seeing, you know, we look at it also like, well, you know, Chet Holmgren is this, and we haven't seen him. He's 7'1", 7'2". He's kind of like that. You know, we said all these things comparing him to other guys. And even though we haven't we want to see him in regular season play, but what he looked like in preseason was nothing like those other guys, just from his stat. I saw when they played Oklahoma City in preseason and saw him next to Chet. I'm like, Chet, ain't you 7'1"? ain't you right around that with him? And he made Chet look like a child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what I want to see. I want to see him against Giannis. I want to see him. Obviously, Giannis is not. He's got a few inches on Giannis, but Giannis is bigger than he is.
Giannis is way more physical.
Yeah, I want to see him against Giannis. I want to see him against the likes of a DeAndre Ayton.
I was going to say Ayton, yeah. That's
some guys,
Even AD, you know.
Yeah, AD especially, yeah. I want to see him with the likes of those guys because I think those guys specifically – you're talking about making him better and him sharpening his game. Perfect. So I'm looking forward to a lot of those matchups. But that guy right there, he only have to take two steps from half court to get to the basket.
Catching alley-oops from the free throw line.
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculous, man.
There was that sequence. Someone put it out on Twitter. There was like a sequence of 90 seconds where he scored down low on the post, came back, blocked a shot, caught a rebound, kicked out, shot a three, hit a mid-range jumper. It was like 90 seconds of just – it was almost like a highlight reel. Like it wasn't – it was mind-boggling to think it happened.
Has there ever been a rookie to win MVP?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Magic did it, didn't he?
No, I don't know if he won MVP that year.
79?
I don't think – I think he was finals MVP. I don't think he won league MVP.
Yeah. Oh, that's better than league MVP.
Well, he ain't going to the finals.
No, well, oh well, no,
he ain't got enough firepower around him, you know.
Will Chamberlain,
and that ain't me shitting on San Antonio, but
Will Chamberlain did it in 1959 and 60. Was his rookie year, and he won MVP.
And that's another freak of nature.
Yeah, you're right.
And we ain't gonna touch that. Moving on.
Freak goes a lot of different places when you use that word in relation to Will. Will was a freak. But I'm starting to kind of like it. It took me really most of the preseason to really see what everybody was talking about with him, with Wemby, and I'm starting to see it now, and it's starting to kind of I'm starting to understand the hype. But it took a big fat chunk of the preseason for me to go, okay, I get it now.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What are your expectations? This is in all honesty. And I know you guys probably have a sour taste in your mouth as Lakers fans. What are your expectations this year for a guy like Russell Westbrook? Because he was in the media this week saying he thinks he's going to kind of be back to his old form, where he's averaging triple-doubles, because he's done it four times. He mentioned him and Oscar are the only two guys to ever do it. And he feels like he could be back in that kind of a situation with the Lakers or with the Clippers now.
I think he could play at a high level, but I don't think he's going to get a triple-double on this team.
Yeah. He don't want to have the ball.
Yeah, because Paul George and Kawhi,
they are
ball dominant as far as they making moves off the dribble. You know, they're not a catch and shoot team. All the teams he played for when triple doubles, he penetrated, kick, and they hit the shot. This team ain't like that. It's not built like that. But I can see him averaging a double-double in rebounds and points. But, like, in assists, I don't see it because of those other two guys have the Rock way too much.
And also, like you said, you know, he won't have the Rock, and things don't run through him anymore. Offenses
unless
do not.
Unless Tyloo's doing something we don't know about.
Maybe so. And if he is, and if he's doing something we don't know about, then he might not have a job for too much longer. Because
hey, let's be honest. If I love Tyloo. If he don't do something this year, I think his contract is up. I don't think they're gonna bring him back. You know, because I know it ain't his fault.
Well, I was gonna say that. How much of that can you blame on him though?
But they coaches to do it. The owners will do it. It's like, oh, let's move on. We haven't won with him. Let's move on. Like, no, they ain't the coach. It's the guys you got over there that keep sitting in street clothes.
If, what was I about to say? Oh, when is their new arena supposed to be ready?
I think another year, 2 year and a half, yeah, something like that.
One more next season. It should be ready for next season.
Should it be ready for next season? Okay,
that's what they say. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, talking about moving into a new arena and them really not having their own identity by really having their own space. I just want to know, depending on how this season goes and how many games Kawhi and Paul George are going to sit out, not only collectively, but individually. And with that new rule being put in place, are they both going to go over into the new arena? Because things can change in an offseason.
The new rule doesn't apply to them.
Oh, they put that, except for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they put that in there?
No, because
I think they had to get like a certain amount of.
They didn't qualify for it.
There was like starts and all NBA selections.
They didn't fall into the superstar status.
Yeah, they didn't get that. Mainly because they haven't been on the floor. Largely because they haven't been on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm, man. So as someone who lives in LA, I'm trying to wrap my brain around how they're going to get fans to this new arena for the Clippers. And I'm not trying to be mean.
I know you're not.
But when you look outside looking in, now you're an LA insider. You've been there. You've lived there for a long time. You played in the city. The ratio of Lakers fans to Clippers fans seems overwhelmingly yellow. Like, you're very Lakers-heavy city. And then you have this kind of little corner of the fan base that's Clippers. How do you get that fan base and grow that fan base into something that can fill its own arena? It has to be through winning, right?
It has to be through winning. You know, Clipper Darryl's going to be there. We know that.
Well, right, but he's like one guy. And it's like, it's always been Clipper Darryl.
It's going to be Clipper Darryl. And what's the guy named, the other actor?
Billy Crystal.
But here's the thing about them. I think.
Oh, hold on, guys. I got something at the door.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah, you go do your thing. We'll just keep doing a podcast.
Y'all can keep going.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Go do your thing. Harp's getting fucking Amazon deliveries in the middle of the show. My Uber Eats is here. What? All right.
I think for me, you look at overall at the Clippers. They're a good team. They haven't won anything. I think with Steve Ballmer as the owner, he's going to find ways to put people in the seats. And plus, people are always intrigued by what's new. It's a new arena. So I think for the first 10 games, they're going to go. And then when they're not winning, like, eh.
Yeah.
And then, the ticket prices are going to be probably high to pay for this arena. It's so many things that go coming.
And that's
into
all
effect.
The things that I think about. Because we watched the Falcons do it.
Yeah.
Like, when they opened this new Mercedes-Benz stadium here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. ticket prices were so damn high. And when they were really good, people were there. The minute they lost Super Bowl 51, all of a sudden, like, they spent 2-3 seasons playing to a barely third full, half full, maybe.
Seriously?
Stadium. Oh, they had a lot of empty seats in that stadium because they had to pay for the building. The building cost a damn fortune to put up. And you had a middle of the pack kind of a team that wasn't really delivering, and fan base falls off, and they were, fan base. We all know this. This is not new breaking news. Fan bases respond to winners. You know, even teams that are boasted as having great fan bases, like the Phillies. The Phillies, you look back 2-3 years, half empty stadiums. All of a sudden, they start winning, and that place is like a madhouse. It's raucous. No one wants to go there and play right now because it's just lunacy.
If you think about it, there's only one team in all of sports, I think, can still pack a house and they lose. And that's the Lakers. You think about it.
No, I would say there's probably a few more. Yankees.
Yankees. I watched a couple games when it was losing. They didn't come. Because there's so many damn games when it comes to baseball. That's why. I say that.
You got a point.
Even when the Celtics might be one of those teams when they was losing, people would still come. But I think with L.A., it's just because, you know, they want to see who comes out. They come to the game and see who comes out. And they still sell out. So it's hard to lose as a franchise and still put butts in those seats because people only like winners. Let's be honest about it. Nobody wants to be affiliated with a loser.
No. And if, like you said, people are obsessed with the shiny new thing. So that might mm-hmm. that might buy you, what, a quarter of the season?
Yeah, it'll buy you about, you know,
it'll buy you 20, games. 25 games. And then if you're not winning, oh, man. You know, the shine's off the apple.
You're gonna have to get some type of a mascot to come to the game other than Billy Crystal and Clipper Darrow. You're gonna have to get somebody famous like Drake.
Drake a Raptors fan.
I'm kidding.
I'm trying to see who's the other celebrity that's a Clipper fan.
Kadeem and the guys from
Living Single?
The other one with the college. Kadeem. Is it Harrison Hardison? Kadeem,
talk about different world.
Oh, you talking about from a different world? Oh, yeah. I never knew he was a Clipper fan.
Oh, he's a huge Clipper fan.
I never would.
We are reaching. We are reaching into the depths of shows that ain't been on the air for 25 years.
Because outside of Billy Crystal, like everybody, everybody else that you may name, I may not have known they were a Clipper fan.
That's it.
Let's see. We got Sierra. Apparently a big Clippers fan, according to the
Sierra
internet.
Who? Le Singer?
Apparently.
How
about Charlie Sheen? Huh?
Never seen Charlie Sheen in no Clipper game.
He's out of his damn mind.
I ain't never seen Sierra at a Clipper game. She's from Atlanta.
Michael Clark Duncan?
Really?
I don't know. It's on the list of people who are famous Clippers fans.
Michael Clark Duncan did.
I don't think he's alive anymore.
You know what, Rob? Rob, that don't mean he wasn't a Clippers fan when he was alive.
I'm not saying that's going to be at the game.
Charlize Theron?
Huh?
I'm going.
Jessica Alba?
I'm going. Love Jessica.
Rihanna.
Oh, she was a Laker fan.
It says this list says Rihanna.
No, that's not true.
It's on the internet. It's got to be true. So I don't know. I just Googled famous Clippers fans. And by the way, Billy Crystal's not even on this list. So it goes to show.
So I know that's not wrong.
The hell kind of list I'm looking at here. God bless the internet for that.
Sierra, a Clipper fan. Yeah, right.
Yeah, she's a Nuggets fan.
Did she used to date someone from the Clippers? The reason they put her on that list or something?
How long have her and Russell Wilson been married? God.
For a minute.
Yeah. Several years. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember Russell Wilson playing for the Clippers.
No. Not at all.
The way he's playing right now, he might not be playing for the Broncos much longer.
Well, he might be playing for the Clippers before we know. Ain't going to be playing for the Broncos a whole lot longer. I hope that they're able to do something with that arena because I would hate to see Steve Ballmer turn into freaking Jackie Moon and Will Ferrell from Semi-Pro trying to he's going to wrestle a bear at halftime,
Steve Ballmer, he probably would.
He'd win.
Great owner, though. Yeah.
And he'd win, man. He's crazy.
Lord knows there's enough bathrooms in that place. He said, I got to have enough bathrooms for everybody so the lines won't be so long so everybody can get back to their seats. Well, if you can't fill that arena, half them bathrooms going to be used. Yeah. Just only half.
That's just your water bill is way high for what you got, man. Yeah. Do we? All right. Anything else from the NBA as we tip off before we move on here? Because we've got a quick NFL thing to talk about. I got to do Big Shot of the Week, and then we got a game.
Shout out to Giannis for the 3-year, $186 million contract extension.
I would have waited.
I heard that from Windhorse as well that he probably should have waited.
How much more did he have on his deal?
So he has 47. He's making 47 this year.
Right, but how many more years did he have? Was this his last year?
One. I think so. Yeah.
This was the last year of his deal. Okay.
All right. So somebody said they should have waited. He should have waited until
probably about
off-season.
Time, though, right?
No, you wait. You wait to the offseason.
And what? Threaten with free agency?
Yeah, get a bigger deal.
Now, on the flip side, everybody says because you never know what happens with injury, that he took it, to be locked in and for a level of security.
Yeah, that's the words out of his mouth. So he did it for security.
I get it. I mean, he got Dame Lillard.
But then I mean, also,
what are you going to threaten them with in free agency to try and drum yourself up a better deal?
Yeah, but I also want to know when the new collective bargaining agreement falls in, and did he sign a 3-year because he wasted it 3 years, and then he signs like a $800 million contract? It has to be a reason he signed. It has to be something else that, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that works now, or what the details of the contracts and all that. Because he has to have something planned.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine that short of a deal for that amount of money. What's that, $62 million a year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time he's done with that, he'll be what, 30, 31? Yeah, he can sign another big deal, of course.
Yeah, huge deal.
Yeah, he going back to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
But you think he'll go back to the table in 2 years, though. Because
true.
Yeah,
that's true. When he's in the last year of his extension, forget it, man.
Exactly.
Let him win another MVP and or them win a title. Oh. He'll be back at the table.
Oh, yeah, and that number's going to be a lot higher. That number's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. All right, well, I'm excited, man. NBA tips off tonight. I'm excited. If you got questions for Rob or stuff you want to know throughout the season, obviously now that we're in the season, a lot more stuff's going to be happening. We'll have a lot more NBA stuff to talk about throughout the year. So hit us up. We're at Big Shot Bob Pod pretty much everywhere. Got a quick NFL question for you guys, then we'll do Big Shot of the Week, and we will play our Halloween game because we're sneaking up on Halloween here.
Oh, you're going to talk about the Bama Bowl? Oh.
What's
Dolphins and the Eagles, all Alabama players on the field.
Oh, well, yeah. Tua versus Hurts. If I had to hear that freaking storyline one more time in that game, I was going to
all
puke.
The receivers, too.
Oh, I'm yeah, like, that's true.
Yeah.
No, but, okay. But you got to think about it. It's the Alabama and Georgia Bowl because the Eagles got a bunch of Georgia boys over there.
Yeah, but it was Tua and Hurts. That was the the main through line the whole game. Yeah. I couldn't stomach.
Then your best Atlanta receiver of all time joins the
Eagles.
Eagles.
I don't understand that because
I don't either.
He's trying to win a ring.
That's fine.
He's trying to get a ring.
But Julio, that ain't Jet Jones anymore.
Oh,
that's Julio.
No. He's just and I hate to say this about Julio Jones because he's a freaking legend, but he's just kind of a guy.
He's a guy now.
In that offense and the piece that he's going to be, it's nice to have him. You know, if you need him to convert, he might be able to get you a third down catch here and there, but he's just kind of a guy. He's not the threat that he was, God, 10 years ago when you put him out on the field and he was almost unguardable. I mean, he was catching everything and he was running past people. He's not that guy anymore.
Nope.
That's just not it, but... My question actually was, the internet seems to be ablaze with this idea that the Patriots should just go ahead and fire Bill Belichick. And the reason being is, obviously, the last couple of years since he's moved on from Tom Brady, the Patriots have moved on from Tom Brady, Patriots have not been good. They're off to a 1-5 start this season. So the conversation's kind of just evolved into, did he sort of have everyone maybe... duped into thinking he was the greatest coach of all time just because he had a great quarterback in a great system with a really good offensive line. And no matter how many times your defense let you down, he found a way to get you back into a game. How much of that was Tom Brady and how much of that was actually Bill Belichick? So the question being, you think the Patriots are at a point where they move on from arguably one of the greatest coaches to ever coach in the NFL?
For me, in this situation, you do not fire him in the season. You don't disrespect him because he's brought you a lot of championships, a lot of money. You don't disrespect him unless he says, you know what, I'm going to resign. I just don't think I think he's earned that respect that you let him finish this year out if you do move on from him. But the thing is, you know, and this is what people always forget. Coaches and players, too, they're only as good as one another. You know, think about it. He had great defenses. He had great offenses, and he won championships. All of a sudden, that switches. You know, of course, you're not going to be the player you are. Think about it. You know, I love Mac Jones, Bama guy. He ain't no Tom Brady.
No.
And so you look at those receivers. Ain't no Randy Moss over there to throw to. Ain't no running backs back there. Ain't no. It's not the same team. He doesn't have. And this is what people also have to say. When you're good for that long, you're going to have a period where people are not going to you. And then you're going to suck for a couple of years because you didn't have the draft picks that you wanted and nobody's going to you because everybody wants to beat you. So it's just, you don't, but back to the point, do not fire him during the season. That'd be such a disrespect.
I don't, I do not think you fire him as a head coach, but I think you fire him as a GM. What a lot of people don't realize is that he's not only the head coach, but I think he is the general manager as well. He has that power. I think his GM role is taking him away from some of the head coaching that he should probably be doing, for the simple fact that he's won so much that you're allowing him, you know, to go grocery shopping so that he can cook the meal that he wants to cook. I think if he's going to stay the head coach, you need to go find a separate GM that can fit in with what he wants to do, but that can also make other decisions. And that's their role and that's their responsibility. People want to talk about Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. It looks like, yes, it was Tom Brady. But I also look at it from the standpoint of they took him in the, what, sixth round?
Oh, yeah. It was like
– so. If Tom Brady, and I understand late round
or something like that, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Late round picks can develop, but if Tom Brady was such the surefire that a lot of people see that he is now, he would have been a first round pick. You see what I'm saying? And so it took.
Yeah, someone had to turn him into that.
Right.
You know.
So some, you know, he got his opportunity because Drew Bledsoe got hurt.
Yep. Damn straight.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Bill Belichick had a hand in that. So we're not going to discredit Bill Belichick. It's just that as Tom got better and better and better and better, and you're with him for 20 years, and then when he leaves, now you got to go find another Tom or somebody close.
Right.
And you hadn't been able to find it because Tom Brady was a gem, like the most buried gem in the draft in NFL history.
Well, let me bring this point back to the NBA. I have not heard much talk around the NBA about Greg Popovich being fired.
Because he's a GM.
Because, well, and Pop had a system with amazing players and had, God, a 10-11-year run where the Spurs were in everything. I mean, you won two titles there. You know this firsthand. You got to allow guys the opportunity to put new pieces in place and rebuild sometimes. And when you have success, like Bill Belichick's won you 7 rings in New England. 7! Pop won 5 rings in San Antonio. Those are guys that deserve the grace and the time to work on a roster. Do you need a better GM? Yeah, maybe that's the case. Yeah, sure. Go get the guy a legit GM and let him just work on his plays, work on his book, work on his players. That's fine. But I feel like a guy like Bill Belichick didn't just trip into 7 titles. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't just, oops, look at us. No.
You know, another thing that has to be noted is when you coach under Bill, you eventually get head coaching jobs.
A lot of
guys.
A lot of his guys
have moved on. And we forget about that. You know, head coaches.
Nick Saban is a Bill Belichick guy.
Yeah,
okay? Put that in perspective.
Yeah. Head coaches are only as good as their assistant coaches. Let's be honest. Because if your assistant coaches suck, because those are the guys that are doing day-to-day with the development of the players that you have on your team.
Right.
If they're not dealing with those players and they don't have the sophistication that all these other guys have, they're not going to improve. So let's give it up to all these coaches that he has brought along too, and the tutelage that he has and passed along. If you don't have that, yeah, your players are still going to be mediocre.
Also, my last point on this, then we'll move on. We'll do Big Shot of the Week. We'll play our game. If the Pittsburgh Steelers haven't fired Mike Tomlin, there ain't no reason that the New England Patriots should fire Bill Belichick. And that's not a shot at Mike Tomlin. What a great guy. Motivational coach. Everybody loves him. Man, he ain't won shit in a long time.
Yeah.
But
Steelers
you also
ain't
know
been
the,
good in a minute.
Yeah, but here's the difference with the Steelers that sets them apart from any other franchise in the NFL. They've only had 3 coaches in the last 40 years,
something
50
like
years.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
You know,
Bill Cowher was there for,
yeah,
God, forever.
And I think Chuck Noll was before him.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, therefore, they're a very, very loyal franchise. And plus, the Rooneys are the ones that came up with the Rooney Rule. So, they're the ones that came up with the rule that African-American coaches should have a fair shot at being interviewed and being hired as head coaches in the NFL. Now, I'm not saying that would make any difference if they fired, you know, Mike Tomlin, because he's been there for a very long time. But Mike Tomlin has also never had a losing season.
True. True. And by the way, you're right. Chuck Knoll was the head coach from 1969 to 1991.
See?
Damn.
Cower from 92 to 2004 or 2006. And then Mike Tomlin, 2007 to present. So, yeah.
Three coaches in how many years?
Since 1969.
Yeah, see?
You have had three head coaches.
Neither one of us born.
That is our lifetime. There have been three Steelers head coaches. That is ridiculous. Crazy.
There are teams that go through three head coaches in 5 years.
In three, 4 seasons. Yeah. No doubt. But, yeah, everybody just calm the hell down. Let's give Bill Belichick a minute to rebuild and see how he does.
If you look up the word loyalty in the dictionary, you'll see the Steelers logo.
Oh, yeah. No, damn straight. Holy cow.
And there's no loyalty in sports.
None. None. And the fan base is going to turn on you in a minute. Yeah,
exactly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, let's do Big Shot of the Week, then we'll play our game. Big Shot of the Week is going to go to Raquel Radford Baker. Miss Raquel is a school bus driver in Dallas. Video footage captured her rescuing a 7-year-old boy who was choking on a penny. During a bus ride home, she performed the Heimlich maneuver on him, pulled him off the bus, had someone call 911 until that boy coughed up that penny and she saved his life. And she said, quote, "I feel like God placed me there for a reason. If I wasn't there, I don't know what other driver would have done this. I mean, I just don't know. I was nervous at the time, but I couldn't panic. All I said was, God help me. God help me save this baby." She was not even scheduled to work that day. She was filling in for somebody else.
Wow.
So right place, right time. Big shot, Miss Raquel. That's pretty dope.
Yes, the fact that she sprang into action. You know, she said she was nervous and still did it. So that's a big shot because I know right now I've had CPR training and whatnot. I'm probably like panicking. Oh, what do I do? So, yeah, big shot to her.
Hey, I'll be right back.
I guarantee you she was black because she said, God placed me there.
Oh, I'm sure. All right, let's play our game this week. It is the week before Halloween. Hell yeah. I've just assembled a whole bunch of Halloween questions for you guys just to have fun with the season.
Hey, have y'all seen the baby do this?
Like, yes.
The Thriller?
Yes, you have to see it. He's like watching, like.
I have not seen. Send me this.
You have to see it.
Yeah. I need to see this. This to me is like the pinnacle of Halloween songs. Like, I don't know if there's a better one.
Yeah.
I really don't.
No,
like
not.
Christmas songs, okay, you can go up for debate. Like Halloween songs, it's Thriller, and I don't want to hear anything else. Like,
hey, you know, the crazy part, I don't even think he meant this to be like a Halloween song, but it's just transformed into
it. Well, it played to all the horror themes and everything, yeah. So everybody was like, yep, mm-hmm. Halloween song, there you go. All right, so we have Michael Jackson on now, of course. He was also featured, Robert Ory, first question's for you. He was also featured in the 1984 smash hit, Somebody's Watching Me. Which is not a Michael Jackson song. Who's credited with singing that monster hit?
Oh, my God.
Rockwell.
Hell yeah. Nice job, Robert Ory. Rockwell is the correct answer. Nice job.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
And I got no privacy.
Yep.
All right. It's like Rob when his webcam's on. He's got no privacy. I've seen everything. All right. B-Dog. Oh, he's gone now. See, now he's got privacy. Usually that's the move when his wife comes into the office. We get that move. And no, they can't see you, baby. And then we go, woo-hoo. All right, B-Dog. This song broke big in the 1980s. It is the theme song that everybody sings inevitably when you're trick-or-treating. What band scored the hit with a 1982 recording of I Want Candy?
I know the song, but I can't even remember the band. I don't remember.
Okay. Rob, do you know the band that sang I Want Candy?
82?
Go-Go's?
The who?
Go-Go's? I don't know.
The Go-Go's. Okay, no, it was not the Go-Go's. Bow Wow Wow was the name of the group. Bow Wow Wow.
I don't know who that is, though. Okay,
is that like a one-hit wonder?
I guess so, because I've never heard of Bow Wow Wow again. I've heard of Bow Wow, but I'm fairly certain he didn't sing I Want Candy.
Sorry, I don't know those people.
All right, Robert Ory. The Munsters were a Halloween TV show. You remember the Munsters back in the day?
Yes.
And then, of course, The Addams Family, which is popular again now because of the Wednesday show on Netflix, which is a really good show. Which show ran more episodes, The Munsters or The Addams Family?
Due to the fact that The Addams Family has cartoons, can I throw that one in there? Because they do the cartoons and stuff, so I'm going to go with that. Addams Family.
Let's see. The Munsters aired 70 episodes, believe it or not. 70 episodes of The Munsters. The Addams Family only aired 64. So, no, it was actually The Munsters. Munsters aired more. See, I wasn't counting all the cartoons and stuff. You added in a whole bunch of extra stuff that I was like, I was talking about the original Addams Family. But, yeah, Rob's like, well, if you count all the movies. I'm like, oh,
okay. Hey, but you got to check out Wednesday, though.
Wednesday's
a
good show, man.
It's a great show.
I didn't know how I was going to enjoy. I enjoyed the hell out of that show. Well done. All right, Harper, two of the creepiest shows to ever grace the small screen were The Twilight Zone and Tales from the Crypt, both great shows. Which ran more episodes, Twilight Zone or Tales from the Crypt?
Twilight Zone or Tales from the Crypt? I'm gonna say Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone aired 156 episodes. Tales from the Crypt aired 93. So, yeah, good job, Harp. Gets a point there. Tales from the Crypt, by the way, with the Crypt Keeper. our oldest son, Cody, for the longest time, was scared of the Crypt Keeper. Because when he was a kid, he would see him and it would creep him out terribly. So, So, one year, I went to, like, a Kinko's. This is...
Oh, Lord.
And
he,
when you walk into his bathroom in our house, it was like the mirror was on the wall there. And then you close the bathroom door was behind you in the mirror. So I opened his bathroom door and I put a life-size Crypt Keeper on the back of the bathroom door that you couldn't see when you walked in. So he walked to brush his teeth or something and he closes the door and I hear the water running. And then like 30 seconds later, I hear bam, 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 bam. And he scared the shit out of himself, knocked a bunch of stuff over, ripped the damn thing off the wall, balled it up, threw it in the hallway. He didn't talk to me for like a week.
You were wrong for that
shit. He was so pissed. But he was a grown man. He was like 20, 21 years old. But he was so.
Oh, okay, okay.
But he was so pissed because it scared the shit out of him. And I was like, that's the best prank ever, man. All right. Let's go with horror movies themes. Robert Ory. What is this the movie theme to?
Oh, I know this one. Oh, you gonna kick yourself when you find out what this is.
It's how Halloween.
Halloween, that's absolutely right. Michael Myers, Halloween. Nice job. You were second guessing yourself there.
Yeah, I was trying to think what's his name? I was trying to think of his name. Michael Myers.
Yeah, Michael Myers.
I was trying to think of his name. That's what I was trying to think of.
All right, Harp Dog. Here we go. What's this the theme to?
You went old school with this one.
Ooh, so creepy.
I think this was way before my time. This is not the X-Files, is it?
No,
it's not the X-Files.
Sorry.
It's going for Halloween horror movies.
I mean, X-Files is, you know.
It's not a Halloween in any way. It's a sci-fi show.
They be playing Halloween stuff on the sci-fi channel.
But I almost want to give you half a point because it was The Exorcist. It was The Exorcist.
Oh, yes. This is The Exorcist.
I was about to say, it's not before your time, but it is and before and now.
The original is.
The OG Exorcist, which, by the way, I will still stand, probably the scariest movie I think I've ever
everybody
seen.
Everybody says the new one is okay. I haven't seen it.
I don't, you know what? I have a hard time with the whole, we're going to remake a classic in today. I have very little
faith.
But
it features some of the people from the original, though. Right?
Does it?
I think so. Like the lady.
Oh, is she in it?
Yeah.
Well, Linda Blair was the child. Yeah. She played the kid. I don't know if she's in it. I have no idea. I have no idea. But yeah, the original Exorcist. Yeah. No thanks. All right. Robert Ory. Two of the biggest bad guys to ever spill blood in Halloween horror movies were Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th and Michael Myers, who we just talked about. Which movie franchise had more films?
Jason.
Jason starred in 12 films. Michael Myers had 10. Very good. So Jason.
Because Jason fought fucking Alien.
Oh, man.
Jason,
he fought Freddy.
Jason
he
fought
was
Freddy.
Space. Yeah. Jason took Jason's ass everybody. Everywhere, man. At some point,
Jason's
we need to stop going to Camp Crystal Lake. Just stop going
gotta
to, Camp,
going
Crystal
to Camp Crystal Lake.
That's all you got to do, man.
How about when they froze Jason and put his ass in space and had to fight the
It
alien.
Was called Jason in Space, I think, wasn't there? Something like that? Or something?
I don't know.
Like, ridiculous. Jason versus Freddy. Yeah, there were a million of them. All right. B-Dog, Jason Voorhees, as aforementioned just now, owns the Halloween kill count, offing about 206 people over that run. Who owns the number two spot on the list? Freddy Krueger or Michael Myers?
Oh, Lord.
Two iconic Halloween bad guys.
I guarantee you, half of them are white girls falling down.
That has to be almost everybody Jason Voorhees killed, right? Of the 206 people that Voorhees killed, 100 of them are white girls with no tops.
That's fine, but all them white girls then fell asleep, too.
They did.
This is a tough one.
Freddie
this
or Michael Myers, who had the biggest
I'm going
count.
To go. I'm going to go. Dang. All right, I'm going to take a shot in the dark. I'm going to say Michael Myers.
All right. Over the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, Freddie is responsible for the death of 43 people. Michael Myers, across all the Halloween films, killed 152. So, yeah. Michael Myers by, like, 100 white girls.
It's only, like, four Freddies, so I would, like, I would have went with Michael Myers. Maybe there's five
Freddy movies? Yeah. That's a lot of white girls he took care of. So, there you go. All right.
He didn't kill some sisters along the way, too, now.
It's so funny. I met the guy who was, he proclaimed himself the only black person to make it out of a horror. He was the first black person to make it out of a horror film. I met him the other day, like a couple years back, and he was funny. I was like, that's how he goes. He introduces himself.
That, you know what, though?
First black guy to make it out of a horror movie.
if that's the honor you carry, you carry that like a badge of honor. You wear that everywhere, right? Like,
exactly.
I'm the only black guy to survive Michael Myers. Hi, how are you? Good. Nice to meet you. Yes. All right, Rob, these are the last couple questions here. Xanthophobia is a fear of A, small dogs, B, the color yellow, or C, carbonated beverages. Xanthophobia.
I'm going to go with yellow.
Xanthophobia is a fear of objects, including the sun, daffodils, and yellow paint. It is the color yellow. Nice job.
Wow.
Xanthophobia. You're afraid of the color yellow. All right, Harp Dog. Turophobia is a fear of cheese, beer, or jelly beans. Turophobia.
Give me those options one more time.
A, cheese. B, beer. C, jelly beans.
Is it jelly beans?
Turophobia is a fear of cheese, unfortunately. Oh. No, so it's a fear of cheese.
Man, that ain't no fear. Them folks just lactose intolerant.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.